Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
I'm so glad that you've joined us for this wonderful Christmas Eve. It was the Sunday after Christmas in a tiny village in England. Father John was looking at the nativity scene prior to packing away the figures when he noticed that all of a sudden Jesus was missing from the scene. Immediately, Father John turned toward the village and in order to call the police. But as he was about to, he saw a little Harry with a red wagon, and in the red wagon he was pulling was the infant Jesus. Father John walked up to Harry and said, "Well, Harry, where did you get the little infant?" And Harry replied, "Honestly, I took him from the church, Father John." And Father John says, why did you take him? And with a sheepish smile, Harry said, "Well, about a week before Christmas, I prayed to the Lord Jesus. I told him if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block, and I wanted to keep my word." Now that kid Harry knew how to celebrate Christmas. Living in this fine country of America, we've gained a lot from democracy. There are too many to list, and I won't go into it. Yet there's something that we've lost. With no royal family, we don't know what it's like for the king or queen to be born. We don't know who the president will be when they are born. So there's no celebration. There's no national party. But luckily, there are places in the world where this event still happens. So as I thought about Christmas and I thought about the celebrating the birth of a king, which we are doing, which is why we have gathered, I was thinking what it would be like. And then it struck me. Not too long ago, we saw this. We saw how the modern world celebrated the birth of a king. On July 22nd, 2013, we as the world got to see, in the age of instant media and even faster spread of information, a king was born, the future king of England named George. So how was the occasion marked? At the moment of the birth and the time following, there were 18,000 people a minute tweeting about his birth. Famous people chimed in, the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, the labor opposition leader in England, all sent their messages. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, also the prime minister of Canada at the time, also sent his regards. Showbiz types from Britain's Got Talent, Amanda Holden and the former Spice Girls, Emma Bunton, all these people sent their congratulations. The King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery fired a 41-gun royal salute to mark the birth of the royal baby. The bells of Westminster Abbey rang for more than 2 hours to mark the birth of the prince. You could watch live footage of the bells ringing for 2 hours. Then there was the return home for the little prince and what his mom wore and what Princess Diana had wore. And then Kensington Palace, people ready, and they gathered, 350 people had gathered to celebrate with the Queen and the other senior royals. I even listened in the radio, a radio station here in America called a bar near the hospital in England to get to see what people were doing, and everyone was celebrating. They were there in the middle of the day celebrating this huge birth. We knew so much information, how long and all these things, all the title, everything. We knew so much about Prince George. This is how the birth of a future king is celebrated in our modern world. Well, if people were that excited for the birth of this modern king, and we are gathered to celebrate the birth of a king, but not just any king, we're here to celebrate the King of Kings, the greatest king. Surely if George, the future king, was born to such pomp and circumstance, Jesus must have been celebrated even greater. But we collectively know that's not the case. It was quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. We know the story, Jesus born in a barn, no room for them in the inn, which makes sense. Everything was booked because it was Christmas. I'm just checking to see if you're still with me. The future king was born in a hospital that was just for him. They had England's top doctors. Jesus had cattle, sheep, goat as his medical staff. George was wrapped in fine blankets and fine outfits, but not Jesus. Jesus was swaddled in simple cloth, hand-me-down from poor parents. Jesus had a smelly barn in the cold desert night, and Jesus laying on hay, which is not as comfortable as it looks in the pictures. And even London versus Bethlehem. One was born in one of the most famous cities in the world. Jesus born in Bethlehem, a small town in a small country. But what we need to remember that this birth, the setting, the circumstances, this sets the tone for the ministry and life of Jesus. So when George was born in the world, was told, people all over the world knew instantly. When Jesus was born, God the Father told who? Angels, who were the telephones and Twitter of ancient times. And they, of course, headed to the capitals of all the great nations at that time in the world and proclaimed the good news. No, they at least headed to the biggest city in the world, in Rome, in the center, and proclaimed this birth to let everyone know what was happening. Not even Rome. People in Rome had no idea. It would be like a New York socialite not knowing about the birth of a baby to a family in a small town in New Mexico. That is Bethlehem and Rome at this time. But okay, so not the biggest city knew, but who did God choose to tell? God must have told famous people, other kings, other emperors, headlines in one of the Roman newspapers. No, he chose to tell shepherds. Telling shepherds about the birth of a king is comparable today to telling, well, shepherds. This group were not socialites. They weren't the people that most people wanted to hang out with. People didn't go out to the field and just sit and talk with shepherds. They were not plugged in to the happenings. They only really knew about taking care of their flocks. They knew about wolves and watering holes, but they didn't rub elbows with the rich and famous. People mostly avoided them. So why did God let shepherds know? And like I said, this question leads us to the point of my message to us on this lovely Christmas Eve. The circumstances of the birth of Jesus tell us something powerful, that this king, the King of Kings, was not going to be like others who had come before. These other kings born into systems of power. The story of Jesus' birth showed us that the things of this world, the things that we assume go with influence, go with access, that come from being the king, being in a position of great authority, all the important people, the people who get to know things first, the first ones the world say are most important or on a need-to-know list, they might be for the meaningless stuff of this world. They might be the first ones to know and have access to all these things, but they're not the important ones in the kingdom of God. At that time, if you said God would announce the birth to shepherds, they would snicker and say, why bother? You might as well tell a tree, a rock, scream it into the wind. It would be just about the same. The world wouldn't give them the time of day, but God would give them access to meet the Savior of the world. And this is the theme, the message, the good news that 30 years later disrupted the flow of the world as Jesus entered his ministry. For the ones who could see Jesus, this was a huge event. For the rest of the world, it was just another poor baby born. So it's our hope to see this event for what it is. It's our hope to see this birth story as setting the tone that this king, King Jesus, was going to change the world and did. Was going to change the structures of the world and did. Jesus was the king of an upside-down kingdom, a kingdom where the rules are different, one in which the first are last and the last are first, that the powerful in this kingdom are the ones who serve everyone and anyone, that love is the higher law, forgiveness is required and selfishness is a sin. And brothers and sisters, this is true for us right now. We celebrate a king whose kingdom is one that is not like the world in which we live. So how are we going to celebrate the birth of our king? First, we celebrate with awe. Second, we celebrate with praise. And lastly, we celebrate by sharing the story. Just like the response those 2,000 years ago, this remains our response too. We celebrate with awe at the power of this moment. The angels showing up in all their angelic splendor to the shepherds, this was all about awe. Mary and Joseph too in awe at all that was going on and all these amazing things that Mary says she pondered in her heart. All who got to be there that night, they were part of something special. It was awe-inspiring. It's like a moment that maybe we've experienced where we were present for something that was important, long-lasting, that you didn't even know that you were doing. When I was a small Cub Scout, Ronald Reagan came to do a speech in Concord, New Hampshire. And I didn't really quite understand the president and things like that. I didn't understand kind of what was going on, but I could tell by all the adults around me how important it was that they were trying to actually get us up really close to be able to even talk to him, to meet him. And at the time, I didn't understand why we were running through this crowd to kind of get to be able to meet him. We didn't get that close. He had to actually keep going and things like that. But the idea of being a part of something like that, where everyone else kind of around understood the power of it. At me in that time, I didn't. But to be a part of that, that's what we're talking about with Christmas. That we are a part, and people that were there and present and us, we're all a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Even though, like I said, I was young, I knew I was part of something that was going on. And so we too, this Christmas, need to slow down and celebrate with awe. We take time to sit and wonder at the immensity of this event, that the world was so greatly changed by the coming of Christ. And then awe moves us into praise. We praise God who made this happen. Praise the God who looked around and saw that the world needed something more. Looked around and saw that it was pretty dark for so many. Praise for a God who said, I'm going to make this better. God said, I promise I'd be with them in any way that they need. We call it Emmanuel, God with us. So then how do we praise? We point to God and the amazing gift of his son. We sing songs, we hang lights, we love others. We give gifts that make people feel known and loved. We point not to ourselves or the things around us, but up to the heavens, saying glory to God in the highest. But the greatest way that we celebrate is by telling this story. Telling the good news like the angels, the shepherds, like Mary and Joseph did. The story cannot be contained. Its power is unleashed when it's told and heard. The story lives on because they told it and they told it. They went out telling everyone, the shepherds especially, telling everyone that they had seen, what they had seen and what they had experienced. And we celebrate that way too. We tell the tale, we tell our families, we read the story about what happened so long ago. We relive it as we fill the nativity sets and scenes, and we tell our neighbors and we tell our world. And what are we saying when we're telling others? We tell them that all is well, that peace reigns. We say, don't be distracted by all the things around you, like those who, like the Who's down in Whoville, like who they realized and showed the Grinch. Christmas is not all these other things that we mistake it for. Christmas is this story. It's a story like this. Long ago, there ruled a Persian, a wise, good, and good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships, so he would dress in the clothes of a working person or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their king or ruler. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left, and later he visited that man again and showed his identity and said, I'm your king. The king thought the man would ask for some kind of gift or favor, but the man didn't. He said, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in the dark cellar. You ate the food that I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given your rich gifts. To me, you have given the gift of yourself. The King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to us, to you and me. And we call this the unspeakable gift. So we stand in awe and praise, of God, telling what we know in our hearts is truth. We tell our hearts again and again. We tell all who will listen about this Christ, the unspeakable gift. And this is why we celebrate, and this is how we will celebrate, in awe and praise and telling this wonderful story, the simple but profound truth that the incarnation means, the simple fact that God has nothing but love for us. Merry Christmas to you all. Amen.